Hey, welcome to our podcast. This is Bad Playstyle. Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast where we all sit down and play the same game. And hopefully you have played the same game at home so that you can be intellectually engaged with our conversation.
Not psychically savaged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to spoil every game that we set out to play. And any games that come up, I don't know, we'll probably fucking spoil them too, so check the show notes before you listen to an episode if you don't want to get blindsided by us mentioning off the cuff that, I don't know, Paul Ryan is Atlas.
We're back. Who's here this week? I'm Matt. I sound better, I hope.
Yeah.
Over here we have
Keenan Bailey.
And then we have
Owen. Owen Harriman. And I think I probably might sound worse. I'm sick right now.
Yeah, you do sound a little muddy in the throat there.
So you're gonna hear me slurping my tea and like,
that's gonna be disgusting for the two listeners we have.
Yeah. I was like, fuck you, I'm drinking my tea.
Tori and Kreber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a bad man.
Yeah, so what did we play this week, fellas?
Well, we played Duskers this week.
Okay.
And I was thinking we should give a good breakdown what the game is before we start tearing
it. Sure, that seems like your bailiwick, dude.
Yeah.
Which is ironic.
Yeah.
Damn it!
So Duskers is a game. It's I would describe it as like a very like top-down like bird's eye view game where you are operating a spaceship. You are traveling through desolate and empty space. Some sort of horrible cataclysm has happened to the galaxy-spanning civilization that you were presumably a part of.
At least one.
At least one thing.
One or more apocalypses have happened. And you are tasked with operating a ship that I suspect is completely unmanned.
Yeah.
That has a number of drones. And you go find derelict ships floating in space and you dock with them. And you send your drones into the ship, and you have to very carefully and meticulously open doors and run motion scans, because there's terrible things that go bump in the night in these ships, like horrible space fungus, or killer robots, or...
Or the poop shooters.
Yeah.
Or the growling things.
Yeah.
That charge really fast.
Oh, that's the poop shooters. You weren't in that conversation, okay. I guess.
And it's a roguelike, so... it's brutal. You will die often. Things can happen randomly. Things can happen seemingly for no reason. Small mistakes can have terrible consequences.
Terrible consequences.
Most of the time when I'm playing a roguelike, I feel a certain amount of shame or like...
like you own the fuck up?
Or like regret.
Right.
No. Like when I reset.
Okay.
Right? And it's not because like I fucked up or... It's just like, I don't want to have to do that.
Right.
Right? And then, in this one, I'm like, well, the very first room, for some reason, just exploded. And, like, all my robots were in there, so.
So we're fucked.
Okay, I'm gonna hit escape, and then I'm gonna hit R, and then we're gonna do this again.
Yeah, it's unfair enough. That you don't really take it personally.
Right, but, like, for some reason, because it's, like, just four robots, or three robots, or whatever, it's like, okay. It's not me. I don't
right.
know, like, it's not like XCOM, where I'm like, oh, no, character that I've put many hours into. It's like...
Who lived and breathed,
no,
and clearly.
It's like, it's Terry. Terry who had Pry. Yeah. Terry who had Pry got hit by a poop shooter, because he opened the wrong fucking door, which was my fault.
Right. I told Terry to do that, yeah. But Terry's a robot.
Yeah.
He is replaceable.
And I guess Q-Bert and Barry could leave, but why? They don't have Gather anymore. Like, they can't get more fuel.
So, I had a run go really sideways once, where all of my robots but my generator robot were destroyed.
Oh, fuck.
So, like, one of the functions in the game is the ship that you board will be unpowered, and so you have to find these, like, these sockets.
Well, it's part of the puzzle, you know. You have
Yeah. So you find this socket, you send your little battery robot over there, and you plug them into the ship, and you can turn on part of the ship, and, like, use some of the doors. And so usually this is the robot that has to stay behind while you're traversing the ship.
Right.
And so, like,
some... And he just sits there, he's plugged in, he's incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah.
Unless you put a turret on him.
Okay, fair.
So, anyway, some...
But
some,
that's random.
Some bad shit happened
to
Robot 1 and Robot 3. And Robot 2, the generator robot, was hanging back and was left with no other option but just turn around and get back into his ship. We went back into the ship, we ripped out all the upgrades on the ship to turn them into scrap metal so that we could build a single gather tool to put onto that generator robot.
Oh, man.
And so the
that sounds like a badass, like, hard mode run.
So this generator robot, he goes onto the ship, he turns on the power, he picks a room to go in,
he opens the door,
and he just walks in there.
Power to the ship.
And he picks up anything on the floor he likes, and he runs away from anything that wants to kill him. And then when he's done, he goes back to the socket, and he opens another door, and he just keeps doing it.
And it's he made it hard mode.
He made it to three different ships.
Wow. So, and that's the thing, is like, these robots that you're sending out, like, Q-Bert and Barry and Terry, because they have, like, random names.
They randomly
name them. Yeah, they have random names, and Sally and shit. They are going to die.
Right. It's like, inevitable.
Like, you're eventually going to either run out of fuel, or one of the spookies is going to get them. Right? Or radiation. Because I've definitely vented my own robot.
Or, I was about to say, or the most devastating thing, the airlock.
Like, right, yeah. So, like, well, when they die, you don't go, oh, they died. You go, wow, I'm really surprised they made it that far.
Well, and you're leaving out the one death in the game I actually really don't like is, also just, like, completely arbitrary structural failures of the ship you're exploring.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the older the ship is, the more volatile it is, and the more it's, like, doing random die rolls in the background to just break shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like, I had a run that was going pretty well, and then, like, in the dialogue box said, like, pipe burst in, you know, R22. I'm like, oh, what's an R22? Oh, it's
all everything.
It's all my stuff.
Yeah, I went into a room earlier today. I was running into this long hall. I hear, and I'm like, okay, we turn around, we leave that room.
Yeah, we
I had done some, like, roundabout shit with some transporters and, like, teleported around the inside of the dungeon. And it was the first room we had entered before, and it
like
was
from the airlock.
Yeah, and it was gone, and it was like it was red and yellow at the same time. Sure. So it was like there's no air,
and
it's full of radiation, like full of radiation, and like had broken all the doors to it. Also, so I was like, cool, dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's numerous ways you can die. It seems like we all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
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 I really didn't like it at first. When it comes to typing as a game mechanic, I love it as an aesthetic.
Uh-huh.
But I find, like, when I have to type a lot in a game as its core function, I get really tired of it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if I have to do it under, like pressure.
Duress.
Like yeah, exactly. Yes. Which is something you will have to do in this game.
Yeah, once or twice. Yeah. I can't type the word stealth anymore, apparently.
Okay. Yeah, so, fuck, what was I gonna say? But like, I got used to it in this game.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this game also, like, what I do is, you remember, we were talking about Doom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you play it for 45 minutes, put it down, go do something else.
Yeah.
Like, I have a gamer, I play games for, like, long, contiguous periods of time,
you
right?
You can marathon a game in an impressive way.
So, but, like, this game, I'm like, I go in, I do one run, which is relatively short, because the robot mortality rate is high.
It's very high.
I'm sorry, the Roomba mortality rate, because they are all Roombas.
They're all Roombas, some with wheels, some that hover, and that doesn't matter.
Some of them look like the Batmobile, but they're all still Roombas.
You know, I think if the Roomba isn't touching the carpet, it's not going to vacuum very well.
Hey, you know, you don't know what sort of, like, G technology they're using.
Yeah, this is space, man.
I don't like the Batmobile robots, because they see red. I don't like seeing red.
I usually make them my generator robot, so I never have to control them directly. Because, like, you open the first airlock, I send one robot out so we can find out what the name of the first room is, and then I say, navigate all to that room, generator.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that's probably the, like, close to the last time I'll give that robot instructions.
Yeah, except to leave.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to do juggling with...
Sometimes you have to move.
So, I remember there was another... you weren't here... I was going to call with Owen for this one, but he told... Like, I got two turrets randomly on a downed robot in it. Cause, so you start with, like, the robots have, like, three slots that you can, like, slot tools into, and these tools are how you tackle the dungeon, right? And the tools, the more you use them, the quicker they break down.
Right, so you can every time you use it, it gains a percentage of failure rate.
Right, and then you can repair them back on your ship, but the costs are exorbitant. The whole point is you have to keep scavenging and keep changing your strategy up, right? And, like, work with very little. So I got two turrets. I ran them two turrets on a downed robot. You can find random downed robots. That's usually where you get new tools.
They got cool stuff.
They got cool stuff on them. So he was like, oh, cool, two turrets. And then Owen told me, he was like, oh, yeah, I did this thing. I like to call it the magic elevator, where you slap a turret on a robot, you put him in your dropship, which can move around the map.
Oh, nice.
Right? So you put him in the drop, and you open the door, and then whatever monster is in that room that he opened the door off of, that's like a new room.
It comes after and he's turreted. Just,
you know, he's hamburger now.
Yeah.
Right? But like.
That's a good, I like that.
But we found out that the turret doesn't work on the swarms of bugs that come out of the vents.
So I read a little bit about that. It's that, they work on the bugs, but it takes 10 shots to kill a bug.
And there's 20 bugs.
And there's 20 bugs. Yeah.
So good luck.
And a turret has 100 bullets.
Yeah. So, okay.
So mathematically, no.
So anyway, the turret didn't work on the bugs.
Yeah.
And there was two robots in that ship. I only had three at the time. So the bugs came in and went and, like, killed them all.
Yeah.
But they were in the exit grid.
Right.
Right? So it just brought it back to the generator robot, put the generator robot in it, which at first he wouldn't go all the way in, but apparently the game was, like, giving me a mulligan on that one.
Okay, like, yo, you're dead.
So, like, yeah, I went back to my ship, repaired each of them one hit point, and then, like, okay, here we go.
Oh, man. So one thing that we should make clear, because it's we're making it sound like you can go back to that ship.
Oh, no.
You can't.
Once you leave a ship, you're done.
You leave a ship, it's done.
Like, even if you save in the middle of a ship, you're done with that ship.
Yeah. If you, like, leave the game, you left that ship.
Yeah. So anyway, another thing I figured out that was cool, I mean, this might not be interesting to the podcast listeners, but I want to tell you guys, is that the poop shooters, as I call them, the dudes that, like, zoom past your field of vision.
Oh, man, yeah.
And like, because they see you from further away than you can see them, and they zoom at you at, like, 3,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, I blink and I'm dead.
And they slam into you, and then they start, like, sucking on your electricity. they're not an instant kill.
No.
They do a finite amount of damage.
But you're usually too shocked by what the fuck just hit me from across the room.
But I had one where, like, my lead guy had 120 hit points.
Okay.
Came into a room, got poop-shooted, and then was like, meh, and left.
Yeah, I did that once.
With, like, and 5 hit points.
That's, like, the best victory you can have. Yeah. Like, oh, fuck you didn't kill me, I'm leaving.
And the little guy slammed into me, he was just like,
yeah.
Like, sitting there, and I'm like, okay, I'm gone.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you, I'm alive. Yeah. I'm gonna walk through this door and close it and find a way to vent your ass.
No, I immediately vented
it.
Which, that was the room with the pipe burst in it.
Okay. So, my very first game, I end up with a robot, like, I had stealth to begin with. I'm like, I guess this works, it recharges. So I'm playing a really slow, methodical, sneak in a room while you're invisible, don't get too close, because maybe it sees you.
No, seriously, if you bump into them, they will see
you. They will just wreck you immediately.
Most of them will.
Yeah.
Not all of them will.
So
I've done some fucking around with stealth.
So I'm sneaking through the ship, and then I realize, like, oh, that door's an airlock. I don't give a shit about anything in this room except that alien that needs to be dead.
Yeah, it needs to be dead.
So I scoot out, I'm like, I wonder. And I do it. And I had this great moment of joy when I realized that I could just vent motherfuckers into space. And I felt so clever. I was like, hee hee game, fuck you.
The thing I love about venting,
I left it open too long and I broke the whole room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the thing I love about venting, though, is that, like, when you open the airlock, it's instantly exposed to space. Like, the room turns yellow.
Vacuum.
Right? And it says, like, room exposed to vacuum. Anything in there that's not nailed down is in space. Like, literally within the same frame that you open it.
Yep.
Like, I love the instantaneous nature. It's just like,
boop! It implies that these airlocks open incredibly fast.
Well, have you ever seen it, have you ever opened an airlock when you had, like, vision on the room?
No.
Like, literally the objects, like, slide across the room towards the door. Like,
okay.
It's fantastic.
Very fast?
Oh, very fast.
Okay.
And then if you leave it open too long, this happy thing happens where everything gets broken in the room,
yeah,
and radiation comes in,
and then leaking into your ship.
And then leaks into the ship through any doors or vents that are possibly connected.
Yeah.
So you don't want to leave it open too long. And since everything goes out of them very quickly, it's usually a tap the button again situation to not fuck everything in your room.
Duskers is somewhat unusual from the other games we've played where there's nothing like... There's nothing we can talk about except for the gameplay. Like, there's no story. Like, there is a story, but
there's a little
like,
to be said about the story.
Okay, well, let's talk about the story then.
So the story. So the game at the beginning like posits that there's what these how many different?
I think it's like six.
Say five or six.
It's like Grey Goo.
Super Predator. A cosmic event.
AI.
AI or foreign threat.
Or foreign threat. So there's yeah, there might be one. For,
I feel like there's a biological event.
Oh yeah, there's Contagion.
Yeah, that's Contagion. The other one. That's what, so it's six.
So there's these six competing theories as to why everyone everywhere is dead.
And the answer is all of them, it seems like.
Well, so I have thoughts about that come from something I think you two haven't had access to.
Okay.
In the game I've been playing on the computer I'm resting my hand on right now for the viewers that are watching us on their television.
Yeah. High def.
On computer one. I've been encountering a very consistent suite of enemies. I've been running into just this like fucking space fungus crap, and it drives me crazy, and I don't like it.
Every time Owen has mentioned space fungus off of podcasts, there has been a vitriol.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Well, and it's like always accompanied by, and then the robot died.
Yeah.
So I've been running into a lot of this space fungus, and so like So, I should clarify, like, when you lose in the game, or when you play a run, even if you lose, it's clear that some sort of outside observer is, like, collating information on your run.
Maintaining these
like,
records.
And, like, what you've experienced and what you've found. When I played on my other computer, I have a different computer set up in my living room. I started a game there. It's a different save. There's no cloud save, so nothing carries over. I've encountered no space fungus, and I've been consistently encountering a different suite of enemies.
Oh, interesting.
And so... It is my suspicion that when I started my new game on computer A, it made a decision then that, like...
I have some input on that. It's actually based on what ships you're going to in that individual game.
Okay.
So I did a little reading, right? So, and they were talking about the story develops based on which ships you're scanning.
Oh,
okay.
Until it sort of gets to a point where it's kind of a runaway train.
Like, it decides, like, habitually you've gone to these.
Where it's made a decision. Okay, so... Yeah. My save...
But, like, you sort of make the decision. Like, if you go to Muteki ships, it's AI. If you go to medical, it's Contagion.
Okay,
if you go
that
to
makes sense.
Space stations, it's Grey Goo. If you... Yeah.
I don't like it. They're telling me to go into the quarantine ships, and it's like, I don't want to... Are you crazy?
Yeah,
like,
you're telling me to go there without a decontaminating module.
My current objective for that one is go into a quarantine ship, which first of all requires a specific ship upgrade that you got to go find.
Hold the phone.
Right.
Objectives?
So hold on. And so you got to go do that. Then it wants me to find an enemy and lure them into my drop pod, and then close my drop pod. Which, yeah, like, that would just mean that I would need two things. I would need a quarantine bypass, and I would need a lure. Those are the two, like, yeah. But, like, still, I'm like, I don't want to do that!
Yeah, that's way dangerous. Like,
all that's super terrible.
So, I have played lots of very short games.
Mm-hmm.
I came in today, and Owen was on a game that was, like, 30 days deep.
Keenan came over, and I was...
You've done, like, 30 runs on one, or 30, like, dives?
Sometimes you spend more than one day on the ship, so, like, that number's not perfect.
Okay. I don't think it's I don't think it's days elapsed on the ship. I think it has to do with the travel.
Okay.
So when Keenan got here, I was just wrapping up in a rather spectacular fashion.
Yeah, it was good.
My 97-day run.
Jesus.
So we looked at the stats, and all of the current stats were the best stats. It's like, oh,
and to be fair, most of my playtime is not on that computer.
Fair,
it's on this
fair.
One. So, like, but still, that one would still top my other computer save game. Like, I could not believe how well that run went for so long.
That's great. I haven't experienced that yet, but it's, you know, it's like a roguelike inevitability. Eventually, things have to go right.
Yeah, so I have met pretty much every kind of fuck-up I think I could possibly do. I've learned a lot about the game's systems. But I haven't, like... There's a combination of me fucking up in new and profound ways, as well as the game just really being rude about the RNG on me.
Especially when you first start playing.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed was that as I played, it started giving me on resets mods that I was using frequently more often.
Yeah, like it sort of notices your playstyle.
Right, and tries to not in time, because it will switch it up sometimes, but it'll give me stuff that it knows and can know how I know how to use.
It sort of gives you a comfort zone.
But the first couple times, it would give me, like, stealth and lure. And I'm like, great!
Yeah, cool! Yeah. The two most dangerous things I can have in start.
And I don't really know how to play this game. So you could bet those runs went well.
Yeah, when I first started, anytime it would give me stealth, like at the start of the game, I would just restart on the spot. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Give me motion, you bastard. And like now at this point, I think I actually prefer starting with a stealth unit rather than motion.
It's a little more, like, active.
It's not just that, but like every once in a while when you do a motion scan, it'll
come back completely fucking useless.
Yeah, yeah. You run it in every single room around you, comes back inconclusive.
Neat.
And you're just like, I have no move.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
there's no obvious.
It's
path,
not really actionable. But like with stealth, even though stealth I think is genuinely more dangerous than doing a motion scan, you always have a path forward.
Right, stealth is neat because you have this level of control, but that level of control is incredibly dangerous. Yeah. Like,
anyway, I was gonna say I have a pet theory.
Okay.
That the drone operator is a AI.
Is this based on anything or
no? This is just. I mean, that's just kind of. I mean, it's based on like you're the only thing. Around, like, you encounter no other people or intelligences, you encounter monsters.
And it kind of works with the way the reset mechanic works.
Well, also, the only benign things you can dock with, the Stargates, are autonomous.
Yeah.
And there's trading posts, which are autonomous.
Yeah.
They're auto-traders.
There are no personalities to them.
They are machines.
Right, so I kind of feel like whatever happened, this is an AI that's like, forgot because it gained sentience, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, somehow through the event of, like, becoming, like, through apotheosis, it doesn't remember what's going on. Just from the way that it, like, Coley said it, it's like, this is the mention. I know exactly what to do, like...
Right.
Right?
I don't know. So like, one of the starting screens you'll get where it, like, summarizes information, there's, like, things for and against what you're saying, sure. Right? There's a readout where the ship, like, goes through scans of its systems, and then the last one is, like, ship subsystems or something fails. I get something like that. But then underneath that, it'll say, like, hey, you got three robots on board and one person. Right? Like, there's a piece of text that suggests that you're a person.
Okay.
But it also doesn't say that you are that person. Like, maybe you just have a person in your cargo and you're the ship's
maybe
AI.
Maybe you have the last person. Right. And you're like, I need to give this back somewhere.
I need to find this a safe place. Yeah. You know, like maybe that's the plan. I don't know, but it's interesting because there's like the thing I really like is that I haven't run into anything that's like definite in any fashion.
Sure.
Right. The thing that's
that's why I refer to this as a pet theory is I don't necessarily have a lot of evidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even like really any that I could point to beyond just my gut feeling.
Well, and that's part of the game's charm to me. Like I came in and I'm like, I don't know anything. I'm just gonna fuck around.
Yeah.
And like I found myself wanting to know more about these things and also not being fed much, so it keeps me going.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. Like that the poop monsters,
poop shooters,
as you refer to them. Just continuously murder me, and I don't have a really good way to deal with them because I rarely get offensive weapons. Like, that makes them an interesting thing because, like, I've started playing with, like, okay, how close can I get?
I was going to say, I really like that this is a roguelike focused on exploration.
Yes.
Because most roguelikes, it's like, okay, I got into the room, there was an ogre, I didn't have the right shit.
Right.
I failed some rolls, he killed me.
Right.
Okay.
Right, it's either the RNG kills you or you're not prepared.
Right, and like, when the RNG kills me in this game, it's because just the room I was in just fucking exploded.
Or the fungus.
Yeah.
Like, fuck the fungus.
I haven't dealt with any fungus.
I'm going to talk about the fungus.
Okay.
fuck the space fungus.
It's really funny because I feel like among the three of us, you've had the most issues with fungus. Like,
no, like it's interesting because like it puts a different flavor on things for him than for us.
So,
like,
first of all, fungus doesn't show up on motion scan.
It's
just sitting there.
It's space fungus. It's
a fungus. Second of all, fungus will spread towards you. Okay. It'll just, like, spawn more of itself.
just spore it up.
Through doors, or?
I've never seen it go through a door that I didn't open first.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it can go through, the vents part doesn't matter, because here's the really annoying part about fungus, is if you board a ship that has fungus on it, this is something I've read on the wiki, I haven't 100% confirmed this for myself, but it is consistent with my field observations, that if you enter a ship that has fungus on it, the fungus can begin to spawn itself anywhere on the ship.
Okay.
And so frequently what has happened to me is I'll be doing my dirt, I'll be doing my business, and I'm like mucking around in the ship, and I'll tell you, Owen, generator robot is dead. And I'm like, what? You know, and I hurry over to the generator robot. No game,
I need that.
And I hurry over to generator robot, and generator robot is just covered in fungus.
And then the fungus lunges at you.
No, it doesn't lunge. No. It just sits there. And it grows slowly. But if you step on it, it's hurting you.
Right.
And it slows the shit out of you.
Mm, cool.
It is susceptible to being airlocked.
Is it susceptible to being shot?
Yes, but I don't think it's a super good way to do it.
Okay.
The only time I would resort to shooting it is if I have sometimes on the ship you can find defensive turrets built into the ship, and you can turn them on through the ship's computer if you have the right tool. That's a good way to do it, because I don't think those have I believe those have infinite ammo.
Yeah, they just keep shooting.
So you can just turn those on and they'll wipe it out. But yeah, fuck the fungus.
I suspect the fungus, I've heard legend in the help menu, of a decontaminate ship module.
Yeah.
So I suspect that may be the counter to it, but fucking good luck finding that in the RNG.
I read...
I think I've run into those, once, and it was destroyed.
Yeah,
cool. I read that... players think that moving around a lot makes you less susceptible to it just landing on you.
Okay.
I can't confirm that for sure, but that sort of jives with my experience that like 4 or 5 times now I've just had my generator robot just die from fungus just crawling on him.
So I want to iterate that we keep saying players think and those kinds of things. There's a wiki for this game, but it's by no means
comprehensive.
At all helpful.
Yeah, I was talking to Keenan about it because I was trying to understand these enemies I'm encountering a bit better. And it's very clear that this is a wiki that doesn't quite have enough user contributions to be confident in what it's saying.
Yeah.
Where like all the wiki articles say it is thought or
it is commonly understood.
Yeah, or
everything is stamped or citation needed.
No, because it's a wiki, you know.
Small interjection. I saw the other day that the Wikipedia article for serial killers ranked by amount of kills at the top says, please do not contribute to this wiki by killing more people.
Good.
Anyway.
Good. Don't go for top score.
But yeah, so nothing in there is super confident. And also I'm going to say it again, the space fungus. The screenshot they call it green slime. I call it fungus because the screenshot they have looks nothing like what is in my game.
Huh.
But their description of it jives with mine, and I think my suspicion is that that's just an artwork pass from a previous iteration of the game. That's not that uncommon in games. Even if this isn't an early access game.
Sure.
That's common enough.
From my understanding, this game is a very small dev team.
Yeah.
So. Type thing, maybe patch notes aren't a priority, you know.
Yeah. Well, and also, this wiki, only, there's 6 enemy types in the game, only 2 of them have screenshots on their wiki articles. This is what I mean of, the kind of, ramshackle state of that wiki.
It's totally, untraveled land in an interesting way that, helps me even when I fuck up, I'll reset a game and just be like, yeah, cool, let's go again.
Yeah.
None of the monsters in this game have names, in the game, it's that thing you saw, that thing that looks like a jumbled mess of orange.
Yeah, the orange
crystal. And it was only orange because you were on that one robot that touches everything orange.
Yeah.
And so, the monsters all have names in the wiki, but they're, it's like a leaper and a swarm and green slime and...
Which is not names I have given them.
Yeah.
It's
a space fungus.
There's the purple guys, the poop shooters.
The purple guys, who are basically robots with turrets.
Yeah, those are security robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Purple guys. Well, because for, the first the majority of the time I played this game, I never actually ran into a live one of those.
Oh, really?
I would always just, like, come across their corpses.
Huh.
Because I'd be like, there's a dude in there, turn on the turret, and then I'd go in there and there'd be a bunch of purple chunks everywhere, roughly in humanoid shape, and I'd be like, okay, this is purple dude.
My turrets don't blow those up. My defense turrets on ships don't shoot the purple guys.
Okay.
Like, I was telling Owen when I watched him hit the defenses and kill something. Like, it reports. Like, yo, it killed something. I'm like, that has never happened for me. Like, my turrets just love everything.
Okay.
It's kind of shitty. Like, because I'm like, defenses are stupid. I'm worried they're going to shoot me, like, kind of thing.
So, one thing I noticed, and I'm tempted to read into it as a story element, but this may just be a simplicity of the game's design, is at one point I had herded the purple robot and a leaper into the same room. And they're cool. Like, they don't fight.
Fuck. No breaks. Like,
yeah.
You can't arena fight them. And so, so
part of me wants to say, well, like, okay, well, they are friends. Great. Like, they are on the same side. I have to somehow, like, fit this into the
narrative.
Yeah, the apocalypse narrative. Cool. These are both, like, products from, like, a nanomachine, you know, thing. great.
Yeah, everything's out to kill you. None of it kills each other. Like, but I find the thing that, like, sort of makes me curious about this game, like, even more is even when I fail, I'm having a good time. Like, it does a good balance. I'm like, ha, you're dumb. And, like, that's funny, isn't it?
Well, it's so easy come, easy go.
Yeah.
And, well, and the fact that, you like, your narrative progresses even if you, like, catastrophically fail.
Right, so, there's something to gain from that failure. Like,
that's a good feel.
Like, my games have been so short that I've never gotten, like, consistent amounts of data on any of the events. So, like, that you were, like, objective, I'm like, wait, what?
once you get high enough tier in one of the theories, it starts giving you actually shit to do.
I wonder if that's what helps select.
In the Grey Goo one, I have to clear every single room on a Class A or Class B space station.
Oh, okay.
Which I've done twice and still hasn't updated, so maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. I don't know. But
yeah.
Anyway, anyone have anything else to say about Dusker?
Oh, let's talk about how it looks.
Oh yeah.
It's got a really cool aesthetic. It has this, like, so when you're looking at your robot in a room, it's got this, like, each robot has its own different type of night vision.
Yeah. Each type of robot has its own type of.
Yeah. And it, like, the whole room will be shown to you in, like, grainy kind of infrared night vision goggles
with some really good VCR scan.
Yeah. It's got good effects. And then on top of that, there's overlaid, like, basically like an AR interface. So like you see, like, the little grainy radar block out of your robot, and on top of that there'll be, like, a sort of green or yellow or whatever shape drawn on top of it with a number and, like, with its name. I'm telling you what it is. And it's actually a cool thing that can happen. This is cool in quotes. Kind of like fun. Dwarf Fortress fun. A cool thing that can happen is one of your robots can just lose vision.
Oh, yeah.
If
you start using the robots too much, they break too.
Yeah, the video feed will go out on your robot. And
then just come back later.
It'll come back later. It will come back. But when it comes back, sometimes it'll be all fucked up. Yep. And sometimes the AR overlay will just be gone. And so, like,
do you know about the degauss command?
Is that a thing?
It's a thing, and it says it, like, resets the robot's vision, but
I
noticed.
So yeah, Keenan keeps
the help menu, bro. Yeah,
Keenan keeps reading the help menu, and I ain't trying to do that.
The help menu's like, hey, I got stuff, and I'm like, yo, I need stuff.
But he found the commandeer command, which was great.
Yeah.
Found a ship, my first ship that I landed on my run that I started this morning. 57 scrap capacity, you start with 50, and it had 3 ship upgrade slots instead of 2, which was great. Mm-hmm. One of them was already in there, and it was a quarantine bypass, which I need.
What was I saying? You were talking about vision.
You were talking about the UI. The aesthetic.
So sometimes when your robot's vision crashes and the AR is gone, you're just this sort of nondescript shape, and you'll, like, drive around a room, and, like, I've had rooms I drive in like that, where I can't even tell that, like for example, you can find a port to suck out the fuel from this derelict ship. I've just driven straight past them because, like, I can't tell because everything's just screwed up.
Right.
And then the other visual mode you can switch to is, like, a very, like, clean, schematic view of the whole ship, of the, like, all the rooms drawn out in fine green lines.
Yeah, the, like, boxes. Overworld reminds me a lot of, like, older DOS games. Mm. Like, it's very simple. The symbols are all, like, very specific things, and then the colors denote what status that is. And
there's that, like, starship noise in the background.
Yeah, it's got this kind of, like, it kind of reminds me, the Overworld reminds me a lot of, like, ZZT rooms, if that makes any sense. Like, because it's all the same, like, seven shapes, and then the, literally, the color of the icon of any kind denotes whether it's, like, broken, or disabled, or normal, or, like, you know, junk on the ground, or whatever, and then, like, yeah, so, and the thing I really like about the difference between the two screens is that, like, the Overworld screen is, like, this really, like, simplistic, low-fidelity thing. And then you go to one of your robots, and you're like, oh, cool, there's, like, weird crates in the corner that don't matter. Yeah. And, like, it gives you more detail about the ship, and, like, provides a completely different style.
Well, it's all very barren, too. Like the sound design, like, in the background at all times, you have that, like, Starship Enterprise, like, giant stone boulder rolling kind of noise.
Yeah.
And then, like, other than that, the game is fucking silent. There's no music, there's not really much as far as ambient noises. Every once in a while, when you're rolling through the ship, you'll find some part of the ship that's making noise.
Yeah,
like,
oh. Yeah, like big hull, nasty noises,
like horror movie. Noises.
Yeah, like it does a really good job of making ships feel empty and dangerous.
H-Bomb talks a lot about like how what was that game that everyone hated about space? Endless Sky.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. He was talking about No Man's Sky actually creates this really cool, like, feeling of loneliness in outer space. I feel like Duskers kind of nails that shit, too.
Yeah, like, when you refer to it as the black or the void in that way, like, that game helps embody that in a really strong...
But yeah, I've bailed out of multiple ships just because you hear a noise.
Yeah.
And you're just like, bye!
Every once in a while, you're like, I got nothing, and two robots, and I don't want...
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The generators, too, they make different noises. Mm-hmm. Like, I had one that sounded like straight up a lawnmower.
The other
day, and that was extreme, like...
that sounds really nerve-wracking.
I'm in the ship, and I turn on the generator, and, like, everything's fine, but I'm hearing this lawnmower noise from the generator.
That feels like it would, like, really...
And I'm like, I want to leave. Yeah. I don't want to be on this ship.
Like, that, like, rides on, like, chainsaws in horror movies in my spine, kind of thing. Exactly. Like
you hear an internal combustion engine in this sort of environment where you're already on edge, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
That's A, janky as hell.
Yeah.
Like,
that thing is missing a stroke.
B, like, I'm out.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting how well that game's, like, you know, we were talking about, like, there's clear paths. Given the information you're given.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how often my path will immediately shut in front of me, and I'm just fucking Godzilla, nope, with my fingers in the air going back in the water. Like, right, like, I am not afraid to get back in my little ship and fucking leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like,
you know what's the best feeling in the world, though? Is when you clear every room in the ship.
Yeah.
And you just type, open all.
See, and then, yeah, and there's then nav open all
R1, and they all just, they take whatever path they want,
because
you own that whole fucking shit.
I told Owen, I was like, you know, there's close all and open all, and I'm like, close all is great, makes you feel good. Open all makes my butthole like a fist. Like, the idea of opening all the doors that I've actually, makes my skin crawl.
There's a run that Keenan just saw the game of where, like, some shit went bad.
See, it went real bad.
But, like, in a way that, like, made me kind of mad at the game. Or mad at a specific monster. And so, like,
was it the green slime?
No, turret.
This is on my other computer. It was just a purple turret guy.
And he snuck up on Owen, and then...
I was already having a bad day. We lost a really good robot, the ship, before. Mm. And I kind of had to scrap a lot of good tools.
Yeah, he did some desperate shit to keep going.
To get Gather on a robot. And then they killed my Gather robot again.
Yeah.
And I knew I just didn't have enough to make a third one. So, like, I take my guy back into the ship. We have remote power, so I've powered up the station. And I'm just like, I'm opening doors.
Yeah.
And I'm opening doors. And I'm opening doors. It's like, fuck your spaceship. And like, I've already airlocked the guy who killed my robot and my robot. But it's like, fuck this ship.
No, like, he got vengeful.
Fuck your horse.
No, yeah.
Fuck your armor.
It was that. Owen's like, fuck this entire ship. I'm like, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to fuck it up. And he opens all the airlocks, and we just watch it go from, like, open air, totally fine, to, like, everything yellows out, which means there's no atmosphere, and then just the radiation starts coming in.
Yeah.
And, like, Owen doesn't leave until it's all solid yellow and red. You know, like, there was some... There was some vengeance.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. I appreciated the, like, gesture, because, like, I haven't been there, but this is also, like, a game that's, like, super impressive to me, who plays, like, five-day games, and then a shit monster kills me. Yeah. You know, like, so I'm like, man, Owen went deep. He got, like, four systems through. He's been doing
it.
Like,
no, I made it through five and was on the system.
Okay. So, like, you know, he's rolling along. I'm like, this is impressive. He's got some mastery going. And then the RNG just turns on him. And I'm like, that's the game I know. Like, but I felt it while he was doing it. I was like, yes, so, this is the proper reaction.
I was watching someone play FTL today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, would there be some way to generate a Duskers map from someone's FTL playthrough, or something like, because they seem
because you were watching it.
They
we were
seem like
this.
Very like almost overlapping, at, like because you just go around and blow up ships all the time. I don't know.
Well, and like the UIs have like really similar elements in a way. Like I was watching you watch that, and I was like, oh fuck, like oh, there's two games here. Like like I had this sort of moment, like oh my god, those could exist in the same place, because in FTL you're like moving door, you're opening the doors, and you're dealing with systems and stuff, and it was like.
But you're dealing with them in a way where it's like, it's mine or it's it.
The ships are alive, there's a conflict.
Right.
Whereas, like, so Duskers is like the game after
FTL.
Yeah,
it's like before or after.
Yeah.
Like, I was just about to say, I think we figured out which of the six
apocalypses
it was. Right. Armed military conflict.
Yeah.
Damn Rebs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I wanted to talk about, like, this game to me is one of those great indie games in that it doesn't need to be fancy, except in its execution of its concept.
Sure.
What do you mean indie? This is made by Electronic Arts.
So...
I kid.
God, it would be so much worse. So, like...
My DLC!
Its sound design is very simple, but...
Unbreakable motion detector.
But very, like, effective. Right, oh, yeah. We were talking about the ship noises when they come up. The monsters all have their own noises.
Not all of them.
Okay, fair. The fungus probably doesn't make noise.
I mean, silence is a noise.
The fungus doesn't make noise. Doesn't show up in motion trackers. It can appear in rooms that you've already cleared.
Fungus sounds like dick.
Yep.
So, but like, it's all these really boiled down things that are executed like just to that point to make it work. And there's something, like, really great about the sum of all of it, right? Like, its visuals aren't incredibly complex.
It's got a great cohesive atmosphere.
Right, and then like, they execute on the game mechanics. I think it really helps that your robots generally are really slow.
Yeah.
Like, that builds the tension.
Speed boost is fun.
Oh, I bet. Or, like, having the magical amount of spare scrap to actually upgrade my robot's speed would be amazing.
Who does that?
No, don't do that. If you have that much scrap, you know what you should do with it? Nothing. Something bad's gonna happen to you soon, and you're gonna need to spend it.
Yep. Exactly. I've been so broke the entire game.
I've actually kind of been taking the opposite philosophy. Because, like, when I started playing this game, I would do things very conservatively and try to, like, use as few motion detects as possible. But now I'm just like, dude, I've never run out of motion detects, so, like, we're just gonna spend it.
So that's a corner I turned recently. Is like, I'm just gonna use my motion detector till it fucking dies.
Right.
But when it comes to scrap specifically, it's just like, the best thing to do with it is don't spend it unless there's something you really need.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're gonna lose that robot that has all the good parts.
Right. So to sort of frame what you guys are talking about, like, the fact that you've had economy decisions is cool, because I can count the number of times I've had double-digit scrap on one hand, right? Yeah. So, like, I'm excited that there's more to this game than I've experienced in a way that, like, oh man, I get to actually make these decisions instead of, like, limping along.
Out of curiosity, how much time have you put into the game?
Probably 15-ish hours.
Really? Okay.
But, like, I keep, like, I reset, like, every hour.
Okay.
You know, like, it's... But then the other thing that's interesting is, like, Matt and I live together, and I'll be playing it, and Matt will walk by and watch me play a little bit, and then next thing I know, Matt's playing in the living room.
Dude, I can't watch someone play this game and then not...
Right,
like,
right!
Like, I was trying to watch, like, I...
Like, it makes me want to stream it, and I wish I had an audience.
I right-clicked on Owen, and was watching him do it, and I was like, yeah, and then you cool. And I was like giving him suggestions and shit, and then I was like, alright. I just like moved it up, and I just stopped listening to Owen entirely.
Yeah, well, there's Steam Broadcasting, right? And I have it turned on where if someone wants to just voyeuristically jump in my game whenever they want.
Me too.
They don't need to ping me about it. They're just watching.
I should probably flip that switch. Yeah. It's great. People have asked.
There's been multiple times. And you actually, I think, have flipped that switch because we were watching you play Longmore the other day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Although I think you had to okay it.
Yeah, so normally, you've jumped in on a couple of my games and it'll be like, hey, can so-and-so watch?
Clearly remember Owen going, no! Keenan, no! That's a horrible decision! He's got it! There he goes.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was at home playing Duskers, and Matt jumped in, and I didn't even notice that Matt had jumped in, and Matt was, like, talking to me about Duskers. I was like, oh yeah, we've both been playing that game. And then, like, you said something about my game.
Oh god, that's weird.
And then, like, when I opened the Steam overlay, there's, like, a little box that I just hadn't noticed that says, like, you are in broadcast mode now.
Yeah.
And for a while, you were running Duskers and had my broadcast in your overlay.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you didn't watch it much after.
No, because after I booted up mine, I just started paying attention to that. It ate my focus.
I feel like
this is a game that I actually wouldn't want to like be listening to something in the background during, though there's actually like not really that much going on.
It's not like a moment need for that focus, but like it draws that attention.
But yeah, this game like demands my attention in a way that few games do,
and it does it with so little. That's the part that I keep appreciating about it.
Although, if your primary mode of egressing into rooms is stealth, you need all that attention.
Yeah, that's a high concentration endeavor.
You need to be able to take those door names really quickly.
Stealth, colon, D12.
So do you know about the control arrow thing?
Control arrow?
So if you hit control and up or down arrow, it does the last command.
Oh!
And it makes, like, 10 of them. So what I've been doing when I go into rooms is I'll stealth into the room, right? I'll open the door, I'll scoot into the room, and then I'll control up and lock the door behind me.
Okay.
Which is, like, that's some baller shit, because, like, if there's something in there and it notices you, you're fucking done, right?
Sure.
But at the same time, like, normally, like, I've been in a lot of situations where I don't have a secondary chamber to work from.
Sure.
So that's what my reaction to it was, like, okay, I need to figure out how to lock this door really fucking fast.
Yeah, you need
fast.
To airlock this thing quickly.
Yeah, so it's like, dunk, and you're in, and the door is shut, and then you're like, all right, what am I in here with? Right, like that's how my game is.
Have you guys gotten the probe tool?
No,
I haven't used it yet. My understanding is that it lets you shoot a thing into a room and like look around.
That sounds neat.
That sounds useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So, like, I think we all really like Duskers.
Yeah, I think like within the first 5 minutes of playing it for the first time, after we decided to play this, I was like, I can see myself coming back to this game periodically for years to come.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's talk about its tutorial, too.
Oh, it's got a good tutorial.
Yeah, it handholds you just enough.
As a person who has a very high tolerance for tutorials, it was fine.
It was.
And if you want to talk about tutorials, talk to the man who hates tutorials.
I want to say, like, I liked it because it gave me enough to work with, and then also
didn't really hold your hand, yeah.
Yeah, it was enough to be like, here's how the game works. And I was like, cool. And I went off, and then, like, I ran a game or two before I ever opened the help menu.
So, as a testament to how much we all enjoyed this game, and how much Corey and Trevor should play it, we totally skipped What Have We Been Playing Lately.
I was thinking about that.
So, and also, we all bought it instead of sharing it.
Yeah, which, because I think we all wanted to play it.
Yeah.
We didn't want to have to wait in line, since it's not a game with, like a very fine, like,
plus, like,
linear end.
I looked at it, I was like, this concept's cool, small indie game, I want to support it even if I don't love it.
Owen, what have you been playing, man?
So, I recently downloaded a game called Packing Up the Rest of Your Stuff on the Last Day at Your Old Apartment, which after you extract it, you will find an executable called PUTROYSOTLDAYOA.
I mean, that's the name of the game, so, like, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah. The acronym, that shit right up.
The acronym made out of, and then, you know, it's like, the name is about 2 inches long on your screen.
It's the AN. It's the acronym.
And it seems to be set in, like, 2005 or something.
Okay.
And you are packing up your shitty little apartment, and you've got your iPod playing, and, like, an iPod, And you have cardboard boxes.
Click wheel, yo.
Yeah, and you're like packing up like the, you know, like the four bottles of liquor that are almost empty on your shelf, and the, you know, the your CD collection and crap, and like anytime you pick up an item, there's like a little item description about your character's memories of this item, and then there's like a weird like little system of Tetrising things around in boxes.
Oh, like
to make it all fit. Like, you actually have to pack your shit. you actually need to get out of here.
This sounds somewhat excruciating.
It's not that bad. It's got a very light interface for that. It's not super challenging or anything.
I like that it's like a day in the life of type game, though.
Yeah,
like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like it's,
yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. Is that on PC, Android?
What's
that?
Oh boy, I seem to remember having to pick out of three platforms.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say it's on Windows, Linux, and Mac.
Okay. Were you playing anything else or?
Shit. What else have I
been playing? We have all been playing the same game.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Duskers.
That's not the one I was thinking.
Let's see. I stopped playing Factorio.
Is there a reason or just?
Well, he launched 32 rockets.
No, I tried like 60, bro.
He was done.
I'm almost done with Kentucky Route Zero. I don't really have anything new to say on that, other than like the game's not actually very long, but I also feel like I can't play it in a rush. Mm-hmm. Like I play it in like a spurt of like half an hour every 2 days.
Is that one of those games that has a mood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I play it on a computer with a projector, and that's perfect for the atmosphere.
Okay.
Because it makes the room.
Yeah, I feel like the buzzing of the projector adds to the atmosphere of that game when I watched you play it.
Yeah. The game's got just phenomenal atmosphere, but I've spoken on that before.
Okay.
I think that's all I play.
No.
What else did I play?
You're forgetting the thing we've been pouring hours into.
Been playing a bunch of
we've been playing it together.
What? Oh, Heroes of the Storm. Yeah, I started playing Heroes of the Storm.
That's a good Jackie Chan impression.
Oh,
did the Jackie Chan meme? Yeah,
that's a good game. That's a MOBA for a dumb baby like me.
You've been playing the Merkin, the horrible fish bastard.
Yeah, the fish bastard Murky.
Yeah,
and Asmodunk.
Yeah, I bought a very nice looking hat for my character.
And it looks we got old cosmetics or hats now forever. Yep. Thanks, yep. TF2. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Right, is it you or me?
It's you.
It's me. So, yeah, we've been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm together.
Keenan's been playing Chad.
Yeah, we named a hero Chad, King Chad. And I after we were ridiculing him harshly and making fun of everyone for playing him badly, I picked him up and started murdering everyone. So that was really nice. And it made me wonder how people fuck it up.
The real Chad was you all along.
Yes, you're the real Chad.
The joke goes as follows: if King Varian Wrynn was born in the 20th century, what would his name be?
And it's Chad.
It's Chad. He's a fucking Chad.
So
it's just like Becky Proudmore of mm-hmm. the Kieran Tor.
Mm-hmm. And you could probably make some joke about like his self-inflicted nickname being some sort of like appropriation of black culture off the whole like Logosh thing.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Something like that.
So yeah, lots of that lately. More Rainbow Six Siege. The meta in that game has finally calmed its shit down, and everyone's not doing stupid things, which is nice. Because they just introduced some new game mechanics no one knew what to do with.
Windows!
Yeah, like, oh, you put a window in a wall, now you just have to open it, right? No!
Put a window!
Control information!
In a wall!
Control information when you're defending, you idiots! Like, yeah, so, yeah. And they're gonna patch out the glitch where the enemy can open your window from the other side.
Oh, good.
But I'm gonna miss that, because my favorite thing about that glitch is it doesn't work the first time.
It only works
so they
second.
Roll up to the window, and they slap it, and you're like, and you're looking at him from the other side, and you're aiming right at his face.
Yeah.
And then, like, he finally gets it, and five people shoot him in the head at the same time, and it's like, you're an idiot for standing in front of that window. Like, my reaction to those windows in that game is I walk in a room, and I look at a wall, and there's a window, and I'm like, someone's looking at me right now,
yeah.
And he's gonna kill me any second, so I'm leaving.
Just consider all guns loaded.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's the same thing. Like, that window has five people behind it ready to shoot me in the head.
All the time.
And it's, like, a great mind fuck when people operate that way. So, like, I'll put windows up and ignore them the whole round, because I know people do that.
Yeah.
What else have I been playing? Those are pretty much the two things, and Duskers.
Yeah.
Which, like, Duskers was my, like, yo, this is me time game,
yeah.
And then, like, my girlfriend will be like, we should shoot some stuff, and so we play Rainbow. And then it's like, hey, everyone's playing HOTS. Mm. I'm gonna go play HOTS. Yeah. Like, so that's been
It's been a fiesta this week.
Yeah, it's been fun, though.
Steam.
I like it.
Battle Nets.
I like it. That's good.
So, pretty much, Duskers.
Yeah.
And HOTS.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been playing my tanks. I like my tanks. I like disrupting the enemy team. Anyway, that's all we're gonna say about that.
Hold on. I wanna say something cool about HOTS.
Okay.
Cause I am a recovering LOL addict.
Okay.
I haven't played LOL in like 2.5 months. which is like a big deal with how much I used to put time in that game. And I really like that HOTS is like the quicker version. Like, I don't get mad at HOTS games because when they go bad, it's just over.
They are 20 minutes long.
Yeah, no matter what, it's 20 minutes long. Yeah. So if it's bad, I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. Instead of like, I'm stuck in this game for an hour, fuck you. Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah.
So like that game is better for my blood pressure.
Oh, yeah. Not everybody knows this, but HOTS has a character that is two people.
Ah, yeah.
So it's like one person is controlling where that person goes, and the other person is like shooting horrible necromantic energy.
Named Cho'Gall. Yeah, Cho'Gall. Always hybrids people's
names. Yeah, hybrids your names. So, I've been having a lot of fun riding around players who are better than me at the game. Just killing everything around
them. Let people manage the positioning, and you just do the shooting.
Anyway, that's what I've been doing. So, Duskers, that thing I just mentioned. This morning, I did the thing that I talked about last week, where I killed every single person on a Hitman level.
That's been kind of your thing this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... And it's, yeah, you were doing that.
Himapan Hotel was, I was coming at it from a very, like...
Matt, how many people are in the Himapan Hotel?
287.
How do you know that, Matt?
You killed them all.
Because at the end, at first I had to take it, like, I had to be super shadow about it. Everybody needed to be hidden.
Did you know?
But then, eventually, what?
Did you know?
Didn't I know what?
The Shadow knows.
Oh, no, I'm not. That's, wow.
That's a good movie. That's what you were going to say.
No, that's not what I was going to say. But eventually, I just create these rooms where I'm over off to the side where they can't see me, but the bodies aren't. And so, like, they'll be like...
The old body pot.
And they'll be like, oh, my God! And they'll run and get a bunch of guards, and the guards will come and go, oh, my God! And then I'll go, pow, pow, pow! And then, like, everybody will be like, what was that gunshot? And they'll run over there, and I'll be like, pow, pow, pow! And then, like, be on the other side of the
room. And they tell two friends.
A bunch of civilians go, what was that?
That's like 287
bucks.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And I did, like, I didn't know this, but, I didn't really understand how the target lockdown mechanics worked. But so they have, like, multiple fallback positions based on, like, where all the murdering is going on. So
so they'll go to different parts away from the murder?
Away from you.
Nice.
And eventually, and that game, when the game runs out of dudes with guns to throw at you, it really starts freaking out. Like, it doesn't know what to do with the alert system.
The AI
systems.
Can't handle it anymore.
Like, and the AI will be like... You'll find people back at their reset, like, start positions, having the conversations they had at the beginning of the level.
Oh, God.
Well, like, you're, like, 5 feet away.
Right, like a school shooting just happened next to them.
And they're like... just like, did you hear about that thing that happened on the other level? And you're like, what are you doing? And I'm standing here with, like, a kitchen knife covered in blood. I'm like, why are you dying? It's like... Yeah.
I still, like, there's rumors, people are saying, oh, season 2 needs a multiplayer component.
Why?
No.
So, I don't think Hitman needs a multiplayer component, but I would love an adversarial multiplayer game where one person is the Hitman, and the other person runs the group of people in the level.
Okay.
Like, I think that would be hilarious, because you would end up with those decisions, right? Like... Civilian, go over here and distract him.
Well, no, I think it would be
cool.
I think it would be cool if it was AI handles the civilians, you are handling the security team, right?
Okay. Because then the AI could be manipulated from both sides.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I feel like there's a cool...
There's a game in there.
There's a cool game in there, but I feel like it's also super hard to make.
I don't know. Wouldn't be that hard.
I don't know.
I think you just have to let go of your suspension of disbelief a little bit. Like,
yeah.
The AI guy would definitely have to be able to spawn things.
Yeah. yeah, so, like, I've been thinking about, because people have been sort of mentioning, like, oh, maybe there should be a multiplayer component to Hitman. I'm like, I'm in the same camp as you guys. Like, it doesn't need it.
Why?
But, like, what would that be?
The only multiplayer I would want out of Hitman is if it was a two-player co-op.
Yeah. Like, that would be cool.
Or, like, or the other side of that coin, if you both have the same target.
I would have to, like, race to it.
Like, no, because, like, one guy would have one thing set up, and then you're like, I'm chasing him with a gun! And then the other guy has to react, right? Like, fuck, what do I do?
Fun thing I found out, the silenced handgun with all the Navy camo all over it is refilled by the pistols that the security guys had.
Ah!
So there was like, half an hour where I was just running around, because it gives you, like, 40 bullets every time you pick up a gun.
Right.
So I was just spending those bullets like water, you know?
Because they're everywhere.
Yeah. I was like, because at first I was like, real careful, like, every bullet needs to enter ahead, you know, but like, now, and I was like,
I noticed that about you, like, you're like real methodical, until that's boring, and then it gets messy, like, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to hold on to that.
Well, like, there's a certain point where you don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be like, they heard gunshots coming from over here, so I'm going to be over here, and then when they're looking over here, right. I'm going to shoot all of them.
Right, like, the need for that discipline lowers, but like, your patience also drops about the same time. You know, like, for most people, myself included. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay, so that's what we've been playing. The game. Oh, dumbest wrestling moment.
I don't know that I watched a lot of mainline wrestling this week.
I mean, you can just say no. Like, that's an option.
The dumbest thing that happened in wrestling this week is I got The Undertaker in that stupid Bejeweled game.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
That checks out.
I'm gonna feed more Undertakers like to the Undertaker.
Dumb on top of dumb. Yep. So yeah, there we go.
Totally wrestling related.
Any VR things you want to say, Owen?
King
Kaiju got updated. It has a score system now. That's cool. Good. Yeah.
I finally played Budget Cuts.
You were telling me you really liked Budget Cuts because Budget Cuts is really fucking good.
Yeah, it's a very game. That game has a floor space requirement that is slightly above the minimum floor space for
It's never mattered
room
for me.
Scale. Well, so like before I rearranged the furniture in my room this week, I just couldn't make that floor space.
Oh, okay.
And it wouldn't let me boot up the game. So it's like, you have chalked out this much space, and
it's like 0.2 different or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. I meant slightly under, and it lets me boot, so I never had it not let me boot.
Yeah, so I recently rearranged some of the furniture in my bedroom and cleaned up a bunch of, you know, nonsense around here. So I played Budget Cuts. Budget Cuts is a cool game. You are
trying to stamp your own job application.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first level, at least.
Yeah.
Did the full game come out?
No.
Okay.
Full game's not out. The in-game narrative, for all that it matters, is you're joining a company. And
a company full of robots.
Yeah. Like, the gameplay of it, like, the story of it, the whatever they say is it more or less irrelevant to the story. Like, you have to make it through levels that are filled with robots patrolling around with guns.
And you don't have a gun.
And you don't have a gun. The way you do this...
You have a gun.
You don't have...
You have a teleport gun.
You don't have a gun.
You
get this little tool, and it shoots a little blue tennis ball that bounces into a room.
I love the preview on that.
Yeah, and so where it lands... you can, from one of your hands.
This is so hard to explain.
Yeah, it really is.
So when you shoot, so that you have a gun, it shoots a projectile. From the projectile comes a secondary camera that replaces the hand you shot it from, and then you can move that camera around and preview where you were about to teleport to.
Right, so it shows you the perspective before you jump there to help you decide if you want to be there.
Because it's a stealth game, right?
Yeah. And so these robots carry incredibly lethal guns, and they are incredibly stupid.
But they're good shots.
They are good shots.
When they see you, it's on.
Yeah. And so it's all about you, like, firing this thing around and sneaking behind him and crawling up on the rafters and finding throwing knives and throwing that at him.
And it's VR, so throwing isn't the easiest thing. Throwing the way you want to isn't the easiest thing.
Yeah, it's some tricky business. It's a very good game.
The thing I really liked about that game is when I played it, I started playing with its boundaries. And I realized that, like, it has some idea of your player model in relation to you in a well thought out way.
Mm-hmm.
So there were points where I was literally crawling across the floor of our apartment because there's like a weird kitchen window and a robot on the other side and I don't want to teleport yet. So I'm literally like crawling next to my couch in the living room, but in my head I'm sneaking through this place with a robot near me, you know, like. It was one of those things where it was the first time VR like made me do those things.
Made you do stupid shit.
Right, but like in the service of the game in a way that I like both thought was ridiculous, but also super appreciated, like, that
experience. There's a part where you have a hand crossbow, and you are in the crawlspace of the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
I always get down on my belly and snipe those dudes through the ceiling.
Yeah, and it's hilarious to watch someone else doing it, but then when you watch what's going on in the game, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Matt's rolling around on the ground, and he's moving his hand in really contorted ways to try and get the crossbow through the vent and be able to aim it at the robot.
Front sight, front sight.
Yeah. So,
I remember when budget cuts came out on Vive, like, seeing GIFs of people at home, like, trying to put their face through the floor.
Yeah. Because that's what you want to do.
Well, because there's Matt was saying, there's a level where you're up in the crawl space above an office, like, up in the ventilation area, and you can remove a panel, and the dude, like, was in it enough that he thought he could peek through that hole in the crawl space.
Yeah, it's like all the people who tried it. I tried to steady myself on a virtual ottoman
yesterday. Yeah.
That was the first time I'd done that.
Yeah. The moment you do that in VR and you feel stupid is a wonderful moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it was a donut that I thought was there, and I opened my mouth and was really disappointed. And then you felt really, like, not only are you disappointed, but you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I knew there was no, knew there was no donut.
Yes, that like, fucking 400 triangle poly donut that I totally thought I was going to eat.
No, like, but, like, it does this good immersive job that you're like, yo, donut, and then, like, no donut.
No donut. No donut. Yeah, I had a person in VR yesterday, and when she got out, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm in an apartment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. You have to, it's weird, because you have to start juggling, like, what's happening outside of you.
Yeah. I'm starting to get really good at that. I'll be like, doing contortions on the floor because I'm doing something in the game, and be like, I'm facing you guys, aren't I?
Yeah.
And everyone on the couch will be like, yes, you are.
It's really weird when you can start those background processes.
Speaking of VR, I saw an interesting thing out there. I saw a DIY kit of someone who they soldered themselves together a little thing of LEDs and wires that you can attach to a cup. And
oh boy.
And your lighthouses will see that and say, I will assign this model to it. And then so the dude has a specific mug that is like, it's a coffee mug and it's covered in IR LEDs and wires and like a battery pack. And in game, it looks like a mug.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's like, he's defined it enough that it, like, looks
and
like
I, a mug. I don't know how well that integrates with games. It might just, like, be this hovering,
dumb
meaningless
thing.
Object, like, hovering in the air. Yeah. But still, I was just like, cool. Can't wait for this tech to come out.
That's great. All right. Any video game news you guys want to discuss?
Payday 3 was announced.
Which for us is a big deal.
Yeah, we're...
I think we're in the 1,000-hour club, right?
Yeah. I think you might be. I'm at like 500 or 600.
Okay.
I told Steven that, and he was like, yeah, I bet you're excited. And I was like, you fucking know we're excited. But it was like one of those moments where your friend's like, cool, I'm glad you're happy. I'm not.
So it's been mentioned before on this podcast. We are a pro Payday, pro Simon Vicklund establishment here.
I have mixed feelings at this point, but yeah, I enjoy the game.
It's been a rocky road.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Payday.
And, like, last time we played, I was like, what the fuck is this spawn rate? There's just more people than I could kill, you know?
Yeah, you know what, like, they overhauled the difficulties in the game. I think if we go back to that and start from the bottom and work our way up, I think we'll be fine.
Man, I don't want to do that. Anyway, I don't really want to talk about Payday 3 more than it was announced and this is a big deal for us, but...
It's gonna be a weird March.
Why? Is it coming out in March?
Like, no, but like, new Zelda game, new Mass Effect. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's kind of a busy March in gaming coming up. You know, like, normally March is quiet and I can go play The Witcher 3 again, but fuck you guys, you're putting out good games.
Yeah.
Also, I'm really pumped for Sniper Elite 4, but I have to finish 3. That's my rule.
Yeah.
I made a rule for myself. I was like, I'm not going to buy this new game when I still got half the old one.
That's a good rule.
But that game's hard.
But, like, none of us are going to get a Switch, right?
I don't have...
I mean, I know Zelda's coming out for Wii U,
but, like,
too,
I'm saying, like, you know, like, that's cool. I'm excited. New system, whatever. Like, okay.
Anybody have anything noteworthy or weird happen from this week that they care to mention to our viewers? To both of them. Owen is shaking his head now, which you can clearly see at home.
Sorry, I come from a television background.
I hate that I like Varian Rin from a mechanic standpoint.
Okay.
I feel dirty.
he's a jerk.
I feel dirty while I dunk on fools.
King Chad is a jerk.
Yes.
Okay.
Where can they find us, Owen?
If you want to email us with corrections, which would be weird because we don't make mistakes.
Flawless.
Damn.
Yeah, for real.
GIF.
If you send us a correction, I'm going to send you a correction right back. You're wrong.
Reply all.
You can email us at dadsplaystyle@gmail.com, and you can find us at reddit.com/r/badplaystyle, so you can talk to the other listener.
Who you live with, Tori. Or Kramer.
Kramer. What was it? What's the British fight promotion? Sounds like a wizard.
Bellator.
Bellator.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Bellator is certainly a sorcerer's name.
All right. Oh shit.
Do we miss some?
Yeah. What are we playing next week? Keenan, what are we playing next week?
Shit.
Is it Inside? Because that was the thing I had as a backup in case you didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. this is what's happening.
Yeah, we might as well do that.
Okay.
I will dig better right. next time.
It's fine.
Local wrestling takes a lot of my time.
It's Inside. We're going to play next time.
We're going to play Inside.
We're going to play Inside.
Play along with us.
Play Inside.
It's like Limbo, but more.
I don't know about that. Anyway.
While we're having our conversation next week, you can talk at your your phone or your speakers.
And we will hear you, but we will not respond.
Yeah. It'll be like karaoke. Routoysotlday. You bastard.
Our theme music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.